السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الدين يسر ولن يشاد الدين إلا غلبه، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Allah's messenger, his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, states in a hadith which is narrated by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that الدين يسر, deen is easy. These are the words of the most truthful person to step foot on this planet. The person whose every word was guided by Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he does not speak out of his own desires and his own ideas and his own inclination, no. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Everything is revelation which has been sent to him. The Qur'an is definitely revelation. But in fact, every single word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guided by Allah Ta'ala, so you can say it was wahi and revelation. In fact, every single word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was guided by Allah Ta'ala, and at all times. Sayyiduna Amr ibn al-As Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, he had a habit of writing down whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say. So in the gathering he would have his pen, whatever, and whatever they used to write on. In those days it was sometimes pieces of bark, sometimes large leaves, etc. And he would try to write down whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say. Whatever. Here I should mention that unfortunately our intellects and our brains, they work very well in worldly matters. But for some reason, they don't work so well in dini matters. Let me give you an example. If a person, he goes to some talk, some educational program, some training for his workplace, then you will see in the session, every person has pen and paper. And every person will understand that I need to note down those things that are important. This person has been brought in, who is an expert in this field, and I am just a junior in this field. I don't have as much experience as him. So let me benefit by his experience just by listening and taking it in. No. As well, I will note key points. That, oh, he mentioned this, and I don't do this. Let me do this as well. In worldly matters, you don't even need to tell people. Make sure you bring a pen and paper. Everyone does it. But very rarely in any deeni program you will see people noting them, that this is a key point. This is something which should be in, which I need to bring into my life, which is not in my life, which is very important, and I need to remember it. So, is that program that will improve your education, it will improve the quality of your work in your workplace? Or that program which will improve the quality of your deen more important? The second one. But our behavior shows that to us the first is more important. Because in the first one, we don't just suffice on memory. That, oh yes, we'll remember it. No. We make notes. In any deen program, a person, he should note down. What should he note down? It's very simple. A person does not need to write the entire talk down or everything. He should note down what applies to him. For example, in the talk it was mentioned that a person he should be very punctual with his salah. And in his salah, he should make sure he performs wudu properly. Now the person thinks to himself, and he thinks, no, yes, I rush my wudu all the time. I never bother to be careful in performing my wudu properly. Now this point applies to him. Now he needs to note it down. In the talk, it is mentioned that every person from time to time, he should assess himself, look at the condition of his deen, check his actions. What are the sins in my life? What are the good deeds in my life? The person thinks, I don't do this. He should note it down. This is something I need to do. Otherwise, shaitan is always at play. And shaitan, we think, shaitan's only job is to lead us towards sin. No. Shaitan will try anything and everything to stop our progress. So he comes very in manners that you don't even realize shaitan is. It is shaitan. So he makes up a thing, no, I remember it. Extremely important point. Vital point has been mentioned in the bayan, in the talk, in the program. And he knows, his heart and mind tell him that this is the thing that I need to practice upon to rectify myself, to correct this sin in my life, to bring the obedience of Allah into my life. This is vital for me. But then still shaitan makes him think. And sometimes even the thought comes that I should note it down. And wait. If not pen and paper, every person now has a smartphone with notes up on his phone. So no one can say anymore, I don't have a pen and paper. But even if the thought comes that I should note it down, immediately the thought comes up, I remember it. This second thought is from shaitan. That's why this second thought, it doesn't come in worldly matters. In that program about your education or your workplace, the second thought doesn't come, I'll remember it. Because shaitan doesn't need to, it doesn't bother making effort there. And we don't realize this is shaitan working. Shaitan does anything, sometimes what we, shaitan does something that we think he's doing something beneficial for our deen, so we don't even realize it is shaitan. But shaitan has been, Allah Ta'ala gave shaitan, through his wisdom, a very long life. So he was alive at the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he was cast out of Jannah, then he made a dua to Allah Ta'ala that give me a long life. Until the end of mankind, give me such a long life. And Allah Ta'ala, through his wisdom, he alone knows why, he granted this dua of his. So shaitan has been alive since the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So he is very, very experienced. And in that time he has led thousands of people astray, including great, great ulama and great, great awliya. So he is very experienced, he is very clever in his field. That is why Allah Ta'ala in the Quran and the Ahadith, to oppose shaitan, what did he say? وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. If shaitan approaches you, he attacks you, then what do you do? You try to fight his attack? You try to work out? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek refuge from Allah. Seek refuge from Allah. That is the only way you can be protected from shaitan. Seek refuge in Allah. Allah Ta'ala will protect you from shaitan. Once a pious person, a person who was very particular with his salah, And he, as well as the five-time fard salah, he would wake up for the tahajjud salah. The tahajjud salah, a salah which is performed between after the Isha fard, anytime until Isha time finishes. And it is extremely virtuous, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the tahajjud salah is afdalun nawafil, the best nafal salah. And the time for tahajjud salah begins after you finish your fard of Isha. The moment fard of Isha has finished, now you can perform tahajjud salah anytime. When can you perform it until? Until fajr time starts. So if you, for example, if you are performing your Isha salah in Masjid al-Quba, then Isha fard will finish at 7:40. Salah starts at 7:30, finishes about 7:40. So from 7:40 until beginning of fajr time, which will be around 6 o'clock in these days. That is the time for tahajjud salah. You can perform tahajjud salah any time. It is a nafal salah, the most virtuous nafal salah. And a person can, how many rakats is it? A person has a choice. It is performed in pairs, in sets of 2 rakats. He can perform 2 rakats, he can perform 4 rakats, he can perform 6 rakats, he can perform 8 rakats. He can perform more as well. The practice of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to perform 8 rakats. But if a person thinks that is too much, then even 2 rakats is tahajjud salah. And he will still gain the virtue of doing the most virtuous nafal action. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is da'bu saliheena qablakum. It has been the habit of the pious people to perform tahajjud salah. If you just finish and then inshallah we'll answer that. It is the habit of the pious people. Meaning all the... Now, if you think about it for a moment, tahajjud salah is nafal, that means optional. That means you don't have to do it. But still... it has been the habit of all the pious people in the past to do it. It is not fard. Fajr salah is fard. Dhuhr salah is fard. So if you say, if I was to tell you it was the habit of the pious people to perform dhuhr salah, you would say, of course it is the habit. It is fard, they are going to do it. But the pious, it is not necessary for pious people as well to perform the tahajjud salah. But still Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it has been the habit of the pious people of the past. That tells us that this tahajjud salah is very important and very beneficial in a person becoming pious and closer to Allah Ta'ala. And this tahajjud salah, it can be performed any time after Isha. Now the best time for tahajjud salah to be performed, the best manner is that a person goes to sleep after Isha and he wakes up in the latter portion of the night. So if the time for tahajjud salah finishes around 6 o'clock, he so wakes up around 5 o'clock, 5:30, performs the tahajjud salah then. This is the best time. But this is difficult. A person, he will have to wake up early, he will have to wake up before fajr salah. So if a person wants, he can perform tahajjud salah minimum 2 rakat straight after the fard of Isha as well. So, and he will still gain this virtue. So, my purpose was not mentioning tahajjud salah, but because it is a very virtuous action and very easy to gain this virtue. 2 rakats nafal after Isha, how many, 3 minutes, 4 minutes? But you will gain the virtue of the afdal min nawafil, the most virtuous nafal salah. So, khair. We were mentioning. What is we were mentioning before? Huh? Yes, there was a pious person, and he was very punctual with his tahajjud salah. Jazakumullah khair. And one day, he missed his tahajjud salah. He missed no sin carried out. He missed the tahajjud salah, he missed the nafal action. But these people, they had a lot of zeal for actions. So when he woke up in the morning, he overslept, happens. So he was extremely grieved. And the whole days were spent in this grief, in repenting to Allah Ta'ala, even though he had not done a sin, but he has missed out this action that he wanted to do. And the whole day was spent in this. in this manner, grieving, repenting to Allah Ta'ala, that I miss my tahajjud salah today, I miss my tahajjud salah today. The next night he went to sleep, and in the morning he noticed that someone is waking him up. So he gets up and he grabs the person and he says, "Who are you?" So the person says, "I've just come to wake you up for tahajjud salah. Don't worry about who I am." He says, No, who are you? He insists. He says, "I'm not going to let you go until you tell me who you are, that you have come to wake me up for tahajjud salah today." So this person said, "I am shaitan." So the pious person said, "You are shaitan, so you have come to wake me up for the tahajjud salah? That doesn't make sense. Shaitan does not command a person, does not help a person to do good deeds, he helps a person to do evil deeds." So in reply, shaitan said, "That yesterday when you missed your tahajjud salah, and then you spent the entire day grieving and repenting to Allah Ta'ala, you gained so much reward for that you gained more reward than you would have been performing tahajjud salah. So you grieved the entire day, repented to Allah the entire day, you gained more reward and you progressed more in His eyes than if you had woken up and performed the tahajjud salah. So I thought that better is that you wake up and perform the tahajjud salah, I will come to wake you up myself, so that doesn't happen and you don't gain so much more reward once again." So shaitan does anything and everything to prevent a person from evil, to prevent a person from good, and to stop his progress in deen. And this is one trick of shaitan, that so a person should note key points down. But I was mentioning that Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he used to write down whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say. So some of his companions told him that, "You write down everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says." Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is angry, so he will tell someone off. Sometimes he's just happy, he's laughing and joking. That, you don't need to write that kind of stuff down. Write down serious talk. All this info, write down serious talk when he's giving dini advice. Generally, he's laughing and joking with his companions. Sometimes he's overcome with grief. So you don't need to write everything down. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Asir began thinking that, "Am I just wasting my time writing everything down? Should I just pick and choose the advices? So he thought, "Let me go ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself." So he approached Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him that, "Look, I used to write everything down, but some sahaba are telling me that there is no point writing everything down. Write down, pick and choose the dini advisors that you think are useful, etc. The informal talk, the informal chatter, leave that." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, uktub." He said, "Write down everything." Why? "فَإِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقَّ." I do not say anything except haqq and truth. This tongue is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if when I am overcome with grief, even when I am talking away informally, even if when I am laughing and joking, Allah ta'ala is guiding this tongue. So whatever comes out of it, it is truth. So it is beneficial, write it down. So this is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whose statement we are discussing. This Nabi was so truthful that before he became a Nabi, the mushrikeen, the non-Muslims, gave him the title of As-Sadiq, the truthful. And after he became a Nabi, they did not have the courage to remove this title from him. This Nabi is saying, "Ad-deenu yusrun." Deen is easy. That means deen must be easy and there is no doubt about it. Now, deen is easy. Here we should mention deen is easy. This hadith does not mean deen is easy, that you do not need to make any effort. If there was zero effort in deen, how are we going to be in Jannah? That means Jannah is going to come for free. That does not make sense, does it? Deen is easy means that the effort you need to make to practice upon deen is not very difficult. It will take some effort, but it is not a greatly difficult effort to do. No, it is an effort that is well within one's capability. In fact, it is an effort which is within every single person's capability. Staying away from every form of the disobedience of Allah is possible and well within one's capability for every single person. A youngster cannot say that an old person can protect his gaze, but I can't. I am young and my desires are too strong. No. Everything, staying away from every single disobedience of Allah, carrying out every command of Allah, is possible for every person. A person who has a lot of anger in him cannot say that other people can control the anger, but naturally I have a lot of anger, I cannot control it. When I become angry, I lose my temper, I swear, I insult someone, I raise a hand, but I cannot control it. It is outside my capability, no. Every person can control his anger. A person cannot say, so-and-so person, he can perform the 5 times salah with jama'ah, because he is from a religious family. His parents are religious, they have inculcated this habit from a young age. My family is not religious, so I have not had that upbringing, so I cannot do it. No. Every person can do this command of Allah. Every person can stay away from every single form of the disobedience of Allah. And every single person can carry out every single command of Allah Ta'ala. And not only that, it is well within one's capability. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. So then now the next obvious question is that if it is well within my capability, why is it that some commands of deen I find very difficult to practice upon? Maybe for me it is controlling my gaze. Maybe for me it is the Fajr Salah. Maybe for me it is controlling my anger. Maybe for me it is obeying my parents. Maybe for me it is controlling my ego. Maybe for me it is staying away from jealousy. But whatever the case, why is it that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that deen is well within one's capability, and there are some parts of deen which I find extremely difficult. In fact, sometimes I think that they are impossible as well. So the answer to this question is very, very simple. And understand the answer through an example. For a person who is not disabled in any way, who does not have any illness, walking 3 miles is possible. No person will disagree. Walking 2-3 miles is possible. It is within his capability. But you have one person who is fit and healthy. He has looked after himself. He exercises regularly. He eats healthily. He doesn't overeat. And you have a second person who does not look after his health. He overeats. He is overweight. He does not exercise. He does not eat healthily. So both these people, it is within their capability to do it. The only difference is that the first person, tomorrow he can do it. Tomorrow he can do go walk 3 miles. He can do it today. And the second person, he will first have to become healthy. He will have to start controlling his food. He will have to start having a balanced diet. He will start having to exercise. And we'll give it a few months, couple of months. If he is regular, then he will be able to walk those 3 miles as well easily. So just like there are people, some people who are physically healthy, and there are some people who are physically unhealthy, so it looks very difficult to them. Whereas it is well within their ability, they just need to become healthy. Similarly, there are some people who are spiritually healthy, and there are some people who are spiritually unhealthy. The people who are spiritually unhealthy, they can fully understand that deen yusr and deen is easy. It is one within one's capability. The people who are spiritually unhealthy, just like that person who is physically unhealthy, who is overweight, who has never bothered to exercise regularly, if you tell him, can you walk through? It's impossible. But if he starts training, then and he is dedicated, within a few months he will be able to do it. Similarly, the person who is spiritually unhealthy, if he makes effort, takes advice from the experts, from the ulama, the mashayikh, on how to become spiritually healthy. He becomes spiritually healthy, then he will see as well that deen is well within his capability. So today the first thing we need to do is understand and embed in our mind that there is no part of deen which is impossible.
And when we say no part is impossible, that means no part of deen is impossible in any era. A person cannot say that 1400 years ago, 1000 years ago, or when there was an Islamic government, and when there was then these actions were very easy. Then the five times salah was very easy. Then controlling your gaze was very easy. Then staying away from haram when you were haram income was very easy. Now in our time with this mahol, it is impossible. No, no. It is possible in this mahol as well. So this is the first thing we need to embed in our mind, that practicing upon any and every command of Allah Ta'ala is possible. In fact, that is the purpose of our creation. So Allah Ta'ala would not give us a purpose that is impossible for us. That does not make sense. That Allah Ta'ala would give us a purpose and it is impossible for us. No, it is possible for us. This is the first thing. And the next thing we need to do, so let us embed this into our heart. And when this is embedded into our heart, then let us make it a point and an objective that every single form of the disobedience of Allah, even though it may be that until now I was thinking this is impossible, until now I ignored it, that no, I'm not going to practice some of this. It is outside my reach. Every single command of Allah Ta'ala, a compulsory command of Allah Ta'ala, every single is we will try to carry it out. And every single form of disobedience of Allah, we will try to stay away from it. We will not pick and choose that this is very difficult and this is or everyone does this so it's fine. Everyone does riba so it's fine. Everyone lies so it's fine. No. I will practice upon every single command of Allah Ta'ala and I will stay away from every single disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And I can do this, so I will make an intention to do it. Yes, if a person slips, then he renews the intention, he repents to Allah Ta'ala. And then after he makes this intention, then the next thing he needs to do is he needs to understand how to make himself spiritually healthy. So that deen seems within his capability as well. And taking this a step further, the person who is physically unhealthy, he, if you give him his favorite food, usually he loves pizza and chips. But when he is unhealthy, when he is ill, you try to feed him one slice, you say, I don't feel like it. So that thing which is enjoyable when he is healthy, when he becomes physically unhealthy and physically ill, it seems unappealing. It loses its appeal. It loses its attraction. It no longer is enjoyable. Similarly, the commands of Allah Ta'ala, the actions of deen, salah, tilawah of the Quran, controlling one's desires for the sake of Allah, all of these, they are also enjoyable. They are also appealing, but for the person who is spiritually healthy. That is why you will find incidents about the people who are spiritually healthy that they used to do very high level of ibadah. And when we read the incidents, we just cannot understand and comprehend that how did this person do this much ibadah? Didn't he get bored? Didn't he get tired? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi in the month of Ramadan, he used to finish one Quran khatam a day. Our intellect say, how did he manage this? We did a couple of juz and then we are tired. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, for 40 years he spent the entire night in the worship of Allah Ta'ala, so much that he would perform Fajr, Isha and Fajr with the same wudu. Our mind say that, how is this possible? How much effort must he have had to make? That effort a human cannot make. So the answer to this is that to us it seems like they had to make a lot of effort. They had to exert themselves. But they made themselves spiritually healthy. And when a person is healthy, he enjoys these things because these are enjoyable. They are like food. And food a person enjoys when he is physically healthy. So these people, they did this whilst enjoying it. To us it seems like they were exerting them, they were making a lot of effort, forcing themselves, sacrificing their sleep, sacrificing the rest. But in reality they were enjoying it. They were addicted to it. So if a person makes himself spiritually healthy, the first thing that happens is that he understands that deen is within my capability. Deen gets easier for him. And the second thing is that deen gets more enjoyable for him. So the first thing we need to do is make it a focus that I need to practice upon everything. And the second thing we need to do is focus on making ourselves spiritually healthy. And we will go into the details next week, but the most important point is that a person, despite not wanting to, he tries to practice upon deen. Right now he doesn't feel like it, but he tries to practice upon deen. This is the most important thing in making yourself spiritually healthy. The person who is physically ill, he doesn't feel like eating. But what do the people around him do? They say, tell him, have a little bit. You need to have a little bit. Why? Because they know for him to get better, he needs to carry on eating. He doesn't feel like having the doctor's medicine. But the people around him, you must have it. They know this is how he will get better. So similarly, the person who is spiritually healthy, he doesn't feel like carrying out the commands of Allah. He doesn't feel like performing salah. If he somehow manages to perform his farz, he doesn't feel like performing the sunnah. But the first thing he needs to start doing is, as much as he can, force himself to do it. Inshallah, we will mention this topic further, but for today, let us first understand one thing and intend one thing. The first thing we need to understand, that every part of deen is within my capability, well within my capability. It is not impossible. And the second thing, that when that is the case, then I need to make myself spiritually healthy so I understand this. I feel it is within my capability, and not only that, I go on to enjoy it. And for this, the first thing I need to do is start forcing myself to do as much as I can. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Finally, I should add that the month of Rajab has started. We are less than 60 days away from the month of Ramadan now. So if a person wants to benefit from Ramadan fully, then he needs to start preparing from now, start increasing his ibadah from now, start increasing his tilawah from now. If he was not reciting the Quran on a daily basis, start reciting. If he was not punctual with his salah, start. If he did not bother staying away from the discipline, start. If he did not make an effort to spend time in the masjid, or if he was spending time coming for the five times salah, then not spending extra time, then start. If a person starts now, my beloved teacher and Shaykh Hazan Mawlana Salim Dawat Sahib, he says that if you start now, then by the time Ramadan comes, you will be in fifth gear already. When you start a car, then in 1 second does it go to 80 miles an hour? Unless you have one of those super cars, we are not talking about them, an ordinary car. No, it takes time. First the car goes to 10, then it goes to 20, then slowly you change gears and then you get to the top speed. So similarly, if we start increasing our ibadah, then we start becoming punctual, then slowly we will increase our speed. Then we are giving ourselves 2 months to increase our speed. Then when the month of Ramadan comes, we will already be at top speed. So we'll enter Ramadan flying. And we will be able to make use of the Ramadan from the first second. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Is everything understandable?
I was going to ask.
Let me turn this off. Okay, yeah.